National Radio Club.
As many of you know, we're trying to get out of the tape business as far as old tapes are concerned, so we're having a Crazy Ken closet clearance sale. We have only two copies left of After Dark Volume 2 at $7. One copy left of Volume 3 for only $7. Volume number 4, 9 copies left at $7. Volume number 9, 13 copies left at only $3.50. And Volume number 11, $3.50. And we only have 5 copies left of that. We have one copy left of All Radio Volume 1, $3.50. Four cassette tape storage cases for your DX Audio Service or other tapes. Three for $10, six for $16, or $8 for two of them. 12 cassette binders, we only have a few of those left. Two for $14, three for $16, or six for $19. When they're gone, they're gone.
National Radio Club.
Contact Wayne Heinen at the Publication Center, Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251.
Greetings, fellow DXers and DXerettes. Professor Dernberger here with you on the February 2007 DX Audio Service. A few months ago, we told you we wanted to respond to requests for information from your fellow listeners regarding technical aspects on the AM broadcast band. So this month, we're taking a time out from our Great Big Desert Beverage Report to answer a question many of you have been asking: why must AM radio stations reduce power or cease operations at night? There are short and long answers to this question. We're going to try to go right down the middle, with apologies to those who know all this and with the hope that this doesn't get too technical. FCC rules governing the daytime and nighttime operation of AM radio stations are a consequence of the laws of physics. These basic laws govern how radio waves propagate through the so-called ether. DXers with a smidgen of math recall that the frequency and the wavelength are what we call inversely proportional. In other words, the higher the frequency, the shorter the wavelength, and vice versa. There's a specific formula for wavelengths that's actually tied back to the speed of light. From this formula, we know that the wavelengths of broadcast band AM radio signals vary from a maximum of about 1,820 feet at the low end of the band, 540 kilohertz, to a minimum wavelength of about 580 feet at 1,700 kilohertz. By contrast, the wavelengths of FM radio signals are much shorter. In fact, they're about 10 feet mid-band. The reason these relative wavelengths are important is that they govern how signals are reflected around the Earth. Because of their much shorter wavelengths, FM signals are not significantly reflected. Their signals are pretty much the same day and night. They are affected by such things as humidity and barometric pressure and temperature inversions, but that's way beyond what we want to talk about today. Because of their relatively long wavelengths, AM broadcast signals are impacted by a layer of gases over the Earth called the ionosphere. There's an incredible amount of serious study of the ionosphere and its behavior. That work is used for everything from space weather observations to earthquake predictions. It's probably not fair to summarize what goes on in the ionosphere in a couple of sentences, but we're going to do that to focus on AM band propagation. We know there are several layers of gases above the Earth and that some of these layers change their properties in response to stimulation from the sun and other sources. In the area of the ionosphere, we're interested in several layers or regions called the D layer, the E, and the F1 and F2 layers. They exist from some 30 miles to as much as 250 miles above the surface of the Earth. These layers of gases affect the medium wave AM radio signals that strike them. During daylight hours, the sun's impact is felt at the lowest layer of ionization that we're concerned with, the D layer. This layer is like a sponge to medium wave signals. What goes up there is almost totally absorbed during the day. Once the sun's radiation no longer strikes this part of the ionosphere, this D layer sponge pretty much disappears, and medium wave signals are allowed to reach the E and F layers, where they begin reflecting back. That bounce back to Earth, we call skywave. And to bottom line it, we'll say it again, radio signals are absorbed during the day, bounce back at night. With that intermittent mirroring mechanism in mind, we now need to recall that even on well-designed radio towers, the AM signals leave the tower at all angles, from straight out towards you to some degree of vertical angle where the signal heads skyward. The signals from the tower stay fairly constant throughout the day and night. During daytime hours, when the ionosphere isn't reflecting signals, that part of the tower's energy that heads skyward is absorbed, as we said, by the D layer. And what's left as a useful signal is that horizontal component, or what we call the ground wave. This ground wave signal reaches the listener on a direct path by a process of conduction over the Earth's surface. Ground wave performance is directly impacted by a number of factors, such as the conductivity of the soil. And in a future column, we'll chat about these factors and tell you why this means some stations just seem to do better than others. Predicted ground wave coverage is one of the primary factors in how the FCC determines a station's protected area. Another factor is what some call the secondary service area, where protection standards granted to high power stations are determined by permitting a certain amount of predicted interference. But again, we'll save that for our next report. The idea, though, is that each station is granted some protection. Now, we said the ground wave signal leaves the tower in about the same condition around the clock. And if all else was equal, you could expect fairly consistent reception day and night from the ground wave. But remember that the energy that was headed skyward and absorbed by the D layer in the day is bouncing back to Earth now off the E and F layers at night. Suddenly, the DX hobby becomes fun because skywave conditions continually vary, and all bets are off as to predictable reception. Stations that might be good for 50 miles ground wave coverage are suddenly heard hundreds and thousands of miles away, wherever that skywave happens to land at the moment. Sometimes that skywave actually causes self-interference to a station. We'll talk about that in a future column. Now, we began this discussion by responding to the question, why must AM radio stations reduce power or cease operations at night? As we know, FCC station allocations and distances between stations are based on the predictable ground wave coverage and a certain allowable amount of interference to other stations. That's fine during the day, as we said, because you can usually predict where the ground wave will fall. But at night, of course, when you add the skywave component, it's a different story. Skywave adds to the coverage, if you will, and certainly adds to the interference from another station. If every AM station were to keep its daytime operating power at night, massive interference would result when the skywave starts to show up in the authorized coverage area and protected service area of other stations. To protect a station from such skywave interference, the FCC had to step in to execute its mandate of sheriff of the airwaves. They say to the new station applicant, we can guesstimate that if you reduce power in a certain direction by such and such at night, the predicted interference to other stations from your skywave will be somewhat manageable. You can get there by either reducing power or by redirecting your signal, or both. Or sometimes we may have to tell you to sign off at night. This FCC mandate is simply a price the station has to pay in order to operate on certain channels in certain locations. The amount of power reduction at night, the direction of the signal, or the operating hours of the station are dictated on a case-by-case basis dependent on the class of station, whether clear channel, regional, or local. They're also dependent on the frequency, the relationship and distance to other stations, soil conductivity, the sunspot cycle, the time of local sunset, and so on and so on. And since some of these factors are somewhat unpredictable, their effect can be to make great DX. One further note. We know the predominant factor in setting the nighttime power reduction rules is the effect of sunset on the ionosphere. Somewhere along the line, the FCC departed from its strict daytime-nighttime drop-off points to admit that sunset didn't occur at the same time at all stations in the same region. So they now allow a tapering of power during a period called the critical hours around sunset and sunrise. Bill Hale, in his very fine report last year, explained these critical hours and their relationship to local time and the time at the station being protected. It's all nicely complicated, folks, and that very complication, the vagaries of sky conditions, the weather, the time of year, all conspire to make DXing a terrific amount of fun. Because as precise as these FCC reduced power authorizations try to be, there's still lots of room for error. And diligence and patience will often produce that prized catch, particularly at sunset or sunrise. We'll expand on this, discuss the reasons some stations seem to get out better than others, and we'll answer your follow-up questions in a future report. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll see you again in about 4 weeks. Until then, good listening, DXers.
Don't let this guy scare you. He always looks this way when he air checks for 48 hours straight. Here's Phil Wayne with the Market Scope.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for February 2007. This month, we return to New York City with Audrey Levine, who sent along this AM band scan.
Today's date being Monday, August 28th, 2006. We'll start at the bottom of the AM dial and work our way up. The first station at 570 is a religious station.
Calvary Baptist Church sponsors Tell It From Calvary here on WMCA 570, and the good folks at Tyco Tea sponsor in part Joni's Corner on this Monday afternoon, where you can listen to us live on the web at WMCA.com. Just click on 570-970 live on the internet. And I hope your afternoon plans allow you to do just that. Listen to us and just be one of the good guys here on WMCA. Joni Bake, I'm hoping to include you in our afternoon of Good Guy Radio, WMCA 570.
This is 620, and now it's a foreign language, and I'm going to let you hear a little of it, but we're going to move on to the fan.
Прозвучит музыка из петербургских тайн. Тех самых петербургских тайн, в которых она когда-то предстала, блистая.
Now we get to 660, the fan. Used to be WNBC.
Welcome back to Shea Stadium as we continue Mets Extra. Time for the keys to the game. They're brought to you by Hyundai. Take the Hyundai Challenge. Visit HyundaiChallenge.com.
Next we have 710, which is WORFM, and they have all kinds of talk shows all day long.
I hope you'll be permanent.
Oh, you're very nice, but you know what? I'm always around for you guys. I love that. Great. Thanks, Dan. Michael LaMonaco here. It's the number 800-321-0710. It is WOR. It is Food Talk, and it is Vin calling from Connecticut.
Yes, I'm looking for a recipe for Rhode Island clam chowder. It's a broth-based chowder. It's, you know, New England is creamy, Manhattan is tomato-based, and Rhode Island clam chowder is a broth-based. I had a very good one at Ballard's on Block Island, but they would give me the recipe, but then they'd have to kill me, you know?
Believe it or not, this next station is 770 WABC. Everybody remembers it from the 60s being your music station up through the early 80s. Now it's talk.
The officer who answered the phone recommended as a first defense strategy a fly swatter, but he promised that if that did not fix the problem, he would send a SWAT team. Paul Harvey. Good day.
News, opinion, passion. This is the most listened to news talk radio station in the nation. It's 12 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
That's all coming up after the news here on 93.9 AM 820 and WNYC.org. Stay with us.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam.
That is 820 WNYC, which is the national public radio outlet here in the city. It's on AM and FM simulcast sometimes. Usually AM 820 has news and talk programs, and 93.9 has classical music.
WCBS News Time 1247, traffic and weather together next.
That's how CBS is. They have traffic and weather on all the 8.
I changed machines because the other machine was not pulling in AM too well. This is 9:30, and I'm not sure what is here. It used to be WPAT, and I'm not sure if it still is. It seems to be a program of talk right now.
Tell him or her that you heard it on Danny Stiles. I want Tom Paneth to know that there's tens of thousands of people who love these old records, these classics from the 1900s. Call now. Area code 718-769-9700. Here's Dinah Washington. I Want to Be Loved. That's a second recording by Dinah. She made two of them. First with a regular swing band, and then again with strings on Mercury Records. This is Danny Stiles. I spin records, talk about them, little Bubba Mices, and I'm on the radio on WPAT AM 93 from 11 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. That's subject to changes.
Check out Andrea Hall this afternoon at 2 and Dr. Laura at 3.
WWDJ Hackensack.
At WMCA Good Guy Radio, our WMCA family of sponsors has something very special to say. Bonifuco and Associates extends its gratitude to our pastors.
If you remember, WMCA was at 570, and I guess this is a simulcast. They're at 970, and Hackensack is in New Jersey, which is just over the river. The next station on the dial is 1010 WINS, W-I-N-S, which is also on the internet, and they're all news, all talk.
We'll get a pretty good soaking for tomorrow.
I'm Doug Doyle. The Phillies and Mets are scoreless in the third inning at Chase Stadium. The Yankees have the night off here at the U.S. Open. The weather's now cooperating, and second seed Justine Henin-Ardenne appears to be in control of her first match.
This is Larry Kofsky on Wall Street. Stock prices remain higher. The Dow with a 70-point gain. Oil prices continue to slide toward $70 a barrel. Crude is now down $2.26.
WINS News Time 101.
Time now for traffic and transit on the ones, sponsored by Comp USA. And here's Bill Gagan.
Next is 1050 ESPN Radio. They've been ESPN for a while, all sports.
Well, it's Brandon Tierney. Good to talk to you again. How you been?
Good, Brandon.
Good. Let's hit some local stuff here. Number one, very worried about the Jets' pass rush. I thought Eli had all day to throw, and he missed a couple. That's number one. Your thoughts on that?
This is 1130 WBBR, which is Bloomberg Radio. It used to be WNEW, which is the Make Believe Ballroom and the Music of Your Life channel.
Welcome back to the Bloomberg Big Picture, everyone. I'm Kathleen Campion. All this week, we make the Katrina connection. Today, a new Zogby poll puts New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin on the outs. We'll talk with John Zogby about all of his findings on the Gulf Coast 1 year later. But as it's half past the hour, let's first check our business headlines with Bloomberg's Catherine Cowdery.
Kathleen, crude oil futures are retreating as Tropical Storm Ernesto veers away from the oil and natural gas platforms in the Gulf of Mexico.
This is WLIB 1190. If you remember, there was controversy about them buying or competing with WoWo. It used to be Black Talk Station, but now it's our Air America outlet.
I'm Bill Crouch, Air America Radio, traffic and weather driven by traffic.com. Starting with the Hudson River crossings, minor delays for the GWB upper and lower levels. Also minor delays for the Holland Tunnel and the Lincoln Tunnel inbound and out. City weather looks like a chance of showers this afternoon. Possible thunderstorms, high today 76. Right now we have 72 degrees. Bill Crouch from New York's Progressive Talk, Air America Radio.
With Mark Riley.
We can't dismantle this administration, can we?
We elected it. The best we can hope for,
as progressive thinking people,
is that we never make the same mistake again.
The next station is 1280, and it's in Spanish, and I don't know the call letters since I don't listen to it.
En el corazón del pueblo.
WADO. 1280 AM, New York.
Vega
Cuídate y entérate con Guado 1280. Guado 1280 informando.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Les informa Edgardo Clavel, qué bueno que está con nosotros.
De la emisora de Dios, entregamos a usted lo último de lo último en materia de información.
The next station is 1380.
WKDM, New York.
La siguiente hora de radio está disponible para rentarse a productores que califiquen.
The next station is at 1480, but suffice it to say, it's in Chinese.
乔家山为什么这么出名？现在我们即刻报道。
伍先生，我就想问一下咧， 你是不是经常来乔家山吃东西的？
And that is 1560 WQEW, known as Radio Disney.
You know what? I really only have time for one more song. Do you want to choose the last song I'm going to play today?
Okay. Wake Up for Hillary Duff.
I've got that one right here. I'll play it for you now.
Thank you.
AM 1560, Radio Disney, New York.
There's people talking. They talk about me.
Cabbage Patch Kids newborns are tiny.
WQEW New York.
And they're dressed in adorable newborn clothes. Each one comes with its very own 4-in-1 carrier.
All right, well, you heard the top of the hour ID. They just threw it in right over.
And that's it for the Minute News and Sports on 1600 WWRL and WWRL1600.com. Have a good afternoon. Now the latest in travel and transit on this Monday afternoon in New York City, here's Lori Blanchard.
We've got some action in the Bronx, going north in the Major Deegan, up by Yankee Stadium.
1600, questioning, discussing, and answering all issues.
Larry Elder.
6 to 9 p.m.
Dr. Ron Daniels.
9 to 10 p.m.
Alan Cohn.
10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The experience, knowledge, and diverse perspectives only on New York's talk leader, 1600 WWRL.
Sharing information. I think it is extremely important.
New energy, in-depth knowledge. WWRL, 1600 New York. The power of dialogue.
1600.
The power. Serving New York.
Doug Steffen here. You can join me every morning, Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock for the Good Day Show. We have the top 5 talk hits of the day, the Did You Know fact file, the daily poll question. Lots of great conversation here on New York's number one urban talk radio station, WWRL 1600.
The power of dialogue.
Armstrong.
Sam.
Sammy and Arby.
In the morning.
Farrakhan is very unique in that he doesn't care what people think of him. If he had said what Falwell had said after 9/11, he would have never apologized, ever. I think Falwell's, I know you like him, I know you
respect
do.
Respect him tremendously.
I think he's a racist and a Jew hater, and I can't stand him. And I think he's a blight on the Christian religion, and I think he's a vile, fat load of goo.
Sammy and Arby.
I feel better.
Weekday mornings on WWRL.
1600.
We are 1600.
WWRL.
The worldwide radio leader. Finally, radio that listens.
This is WWRL Afternoon Drive on 1600.
1600 WWRL.
We're back here on Afternoon Drive, and we're driving to a new subject matter here as we have our prime time discussion here.
I believe this is 1660. It's a Spanish station, and it's not nearby. I believe it's out in Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's not coming in very well, and I'm not going to really spend much time on it, but This is what it sounds like.
Thanks, Audrey. I really appreciate your catching the legal IDs. Remember, if you'd like to send a Market Scope or interesting radio air check, I'm Phil Wayne at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351-1652. All the DX Audio Service membership will be grateful for any usable submission. It's on the FMs next month, but now here's Fred.
Thanks, Phil. And before we get on to our musings to the members, I want to quickly thank the DX Audio Service members for your participation in putting together our survey. As of last count, we have only five we've not heard from, two of which are from members who insisted that we send out the survey via email and they would reply. Those have not been received, so we just have to move on without them. So overall, I think we had a very good voter turnout, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you who did participate in the survey for helping us out, because there's a lot of great information in there that's going to help us guide the DX Audio Service over the next few years. Now here's our musings to the members.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. What was the first radio station in Miami? Does anybody know? I'm not sure.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, Ted Wellison retired from CFRB Toronto this past Friday, which was December the 15th. He had held that post for 10 years doing the morning drive show. After Wally Crowder did it for 50 years, Bill Carroll will take it over on January the 8th, a veteran of radio in the Toronto area. He's been with CFRB for 7 years. WGR 550 in Buffalo, all sports station, got a 5-year extension on their contract to carry Buffalo Sabres hockey games. CHUC 1450 in Cobourg, Ontario, which has been trying to go to FM and about to, is staying on AM a little bit longer due to the fact that they're getting some interference from some airport hangars and so on and so forth. I don't know beyond that. WLIB 1190 in New York has changed their format too. They're not talk station anymore like they were. They have gone more toward religion. Bill Anderson announced on WSM in Nashville a few weeks ago that XM Satellite Radio is going to build a studio in Nashville. This will go along with what they already have in Washington, D.C.
This is Paul Smith from Baltimore, Maryland. To answer Paul Burkhart's question about the ESPN station at 1240, what you probably heard was WCEM in Cambridge, Maryland, on the eastern shore of Maryland, I guess about maybe 30, 35 miles away from here. So that answers that.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. We have a format change here on the AM band. 950 WCTN Potomac Cabin John is once again switching formats. A couple of years ago, they tried oldies for a couple of weeks, then went Spanish. Well, they're trying to do the oldie format again. Right now, they're playing songs, and an announcer will say, if you are interested in promoting your business or a service, call this number and you can buy an hour or whatever of infomercials. I called the station and explained to them that the signal is extremely weak here in Silver Spring, and when 980 has the IBOC on during the day, my GE Super 3 radio totally is unable to pick up WCTN. I can get it on other radios in the house. It's just, and I mean just, beyond the IBOC. At nighttime, I do not get the station very well because I get WPEN in Philadelphia. And I suggested to the management of the station, whoever I talked to, that they try and get something on the X band, say 1630 or 1640.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville, Alabama. The article by Bob Foxworth about the HD radio he bought from Radio Shack was one of the best articles ever to appear on DX Audio Service. Please keep Bob Foxworth's articles coming. It's amazing that the producers of HD radios don't make a decent AM radio with the strength of, say, the Super Radio or the C-Crane radio to start off with. If the radio can't pull in stations, how can it do HD?
Hi there, happy holidays. This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. Has there been at any time in radio history a station that has never changed its format, a station that has come on the air and never, ever changed its format over the years?
This is Paul Smith in Baltimore, Maryland. WYTH, as I had stated earlier, is no longer around, but it is also the radio station has changed. Instead of being newstalkdc.com, it is now WRBS AM 1230. Currently, they're just playing Christmas music with no commercials, so I don't know if this format is going to continue or not, but for this listener, it's a welcome change from some of the things I've been hearing on that particular station.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. Happy holidays to everyone out there. Few quick things. Number one, I understand that the late and great James Brown owned a radio station in Macon, Georgia, WRDW. Is that true? I think he did. And also, whatever happened to WABB and Mobile? WRDW and WABB were 1480, and when I was a kid, both of them would come in pretty good. Also, whatever happened to 1390 WROA out of Mississippi? Oh, to Wayne Ryan, one more thing. What kind of radio are you using to pick up all of these stations? It sounds great.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. If it was allowed, how much could the FCC expand the AM dial, for example, to 520, 510, 500, and the other end of the dial, 1710, 1720? Is that possible or feasible, or would that mess up the dial? Would that interfere unnecessarily with other bands?
Hello, DXers. Josh Owens here in Reedsville, North Carolina, with a radio question for you here. This is on Saturday, the 30th of December, and I got a question for you concerning a station I heard this morning. I Kid Not Kiss the call sign, but it was on 1560 AM. It was carrying religious programming of local origin, I believe. It's from, I believe it was Fairfield, Ohio. That's what it was. I can't remember the name of town. I'm sorry. But Fairfield, Ohio. So if anybody can tell me the call sign, maybe the specs on the station, I'd appreciate it. 1560 from Fairfield, Ohio.
Hi there. This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. About 3:45 in the morning, or thereabouts, 560 WQAM, Sports Radio 560 WQAM, did a test of their emergency broadcast system, whatever you call it, and there was no announcement of it whatsoever. They just stopped the programming for about 10 minutes and did the test and then resumed the programming again without saying a thing. Now, WIOD News Radio 610 WIOD did the same thing about 3 or 4 minutes prior to that. Put their emergency test on without saying a thing. Is that illegal?
Hello, DXers. My name is Hugh Stogner. I'm calling from Evansville, Indiana. Just wanted to jump in here with a couple of things real quick. First off, I hope Fred and all of the staff at the DX Audio Service had a great vacation there. Hope everybody had a very happy new year. Hope this new year is prosperous for you. And I wish lots of continued good luck and success to the DX Audio Service magazine. A couple of other quick things I wanted to mention. First off, to Mr. Honest Chuck, thanks for the article that you presented about Chicago radio personality Eddie Schwartz. It was very informative. I wondered what had happened to Eddie. I really enjoyed the article that you presented there. Secondly, I was very disappointed again this New Year's Eve at midnight. You know, it's gotten to the place that I haven't been able to find any radio stations anywhere in my area that play the original Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians version of Auld Lang Syne. That's very irritating to me because, I mean, it's like, to me, that used to be a set thing for New Year or for New Year's Eve, regardless of what kind of format you were running. At midnight to start off the new year, you always play Guy Lombardo's Auld Lang Syne. I'm just really disappointed, frustrated, and aggravated or whatever that no stations seem to do that anymore.
Hello, fellow DX. Here's Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. In answer to my friend's questions in Maryland,
Oshawa is 97 miles east of here, 31 miles east of Toronto. The hockey team is the Generals. That is the General Motors car headquarters of Canada over there. And that station's been getting out very well, I understand, especially at night, CKDO. They were originally on 1240 as CKLB, and then they went to 1350, and they did some time as those call letters there, and then CKAR, then it became CKDO, and they've undergone a few format changes, too. Our local station, CKPC 1380, is supposed to go to 25,000 watts this coming Thursday, which will be January the 25th. Since the solar flare, about the middle of December, really messed things up for a few nights, DXing has been great. The Skywave has been great most nights, and some stations have been staying up in the daytime. For example, yesterday, which was January 18th, I was picking up Sheboygan, Wisconsin on 1330, a station in the Finger Lakes District of New York State on 1480 that had sports. Sheboygan is a news station, to name a couple. And a lot of the big ones have been staying up, like in Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Boston, been getting them in the daytime. Format changes, 1330 in Erie on Monday, January the 8th, Erie, Pennsylvania, went from the Fan Sports ESPN to the True Oldies channel. So that's the kind of music they're playing now, like an old Top 40 format. CHOK in Sarnia, Ontario on 1070 on a Friday in January. Well, let's see, the 12th. They went country. They were doing oldies for quite a time. They had been country in a previous incarnation in about the late 70s to early 80s. Unfortunately, too, we have lost a great person at CHML in Hamilton on 900. He was with them for about 45 years. He was a pillar in the community. Bill Stirrup. He was involved in everything to do with sports in that area. Plus, he was a crime reporter for the Hamilton police also. Wayne Ryan again. 980 WTRY, Troy, New York, has gone from oldies to Fox Sports Radio. And I've also been picking up a lot of other stations all kinds of times. Peterborough, 980. Peterborough, Ontario, the Cruise 980 has been coming in some nights, coming over CFPL London, which is quite a bit closer.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Remember, if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is area code 360-469-0189 for DX Audio Service members only. Please keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. Why do I say that? Well, the musings you just heard was about one-third the length of what it originally was off the machine. I had to do some heavy editing just to fit it in on the DX Audio Service for this month. Again, keep it brief and to the point. I know sometimes it's a little exciting when a 10-watt FM educational station in your community starts playing all polka music, but make sure that what you're reporting is pertinent to all the members of the audio service. Also, when you ask a question, keep in mind that we're going to have to take some time to research it as well as take time on the magazine to report it. That will take away from other articles on the magazine. And I would hope that the DX Audio Service members think that they're a lot smarter than I am. In fact, I know a lot of you are. So if you happen to hear a question which is asked on the musings, why don't you beat me to the punch by giving us an answer on the Musings to the Members line before I have a chance to answer it on the next edition. Let's see how good you can do by the next month. Okay, now let's turn it over to Ken Onischuk with a look at two articles that he's got on this edition.
And hello, DXers. Ken Onischuk here in Lockport, Illinois, February of 2007. Happy New Year. And to start out here, I have an article here that's been passed along to me that I want you to know about. Legendary Boston radio newsman retires after 40 years. The Beatles, Vietnam, Watergate, the Blizzard of 78, Prince Diana's funeral, the 911 terrorist attacks, the Red Sox 2004 World Series win. Through all of these news events and more, Gary LaPierre has been the deep, melodic voice of authority that kept Boston area radio listeners informed. Now, after 40 years behind the microphone at 1030 WBZ, the 64-year-old Rich LaPierre is retiring. His last day was December 29th. "You've got to know when it's time, and I am convinced it's true," he told AP in a recent interview. "I feel as though I'm still at the top of my game mentally and to a degree physically, though he had a triple bypass heart surgery last year. It hasn't been all that glamorous, though. He rises at 3 a.m. to be ready to give morning listeners a jump on the day's news and weather, and on snowy days, his famous school closing reports. LaPierre looks like he could go on another 20 years. His compact frame is physically fit, and he bristles with energy in the newsroom. He shares on the set with WBZ TV and radio. Between 6 and 9 a.m., at the top and the bottom of each hour, he walks a few steps from his desk to a 10-by-15-foot studio to speak to roughly 500,000 listeners. LaPierre prefers to stand at the microphone when he's on the air. He says he feels more energized. He holds scripts in his left hand and punches his control console with his right, switching between traffic and weather reports and news from reporters out in the field. As he reads a news story from just-released report by the Iraq Study Group, his editor speaks into LaPierre's earphone and tells him that they've just got a soundbite from President Bush reacting to the report. He hits a button, and BZ listeners hear the president's words within minutes of their being uttered. He says, "I'm going to miss the frantic part of this business. It keeps you pumped up. Your day goes by quickly." Next, I've got a local obituary I want to pass along to you. It happened in early November. Edgar Moose Muzard helped introduce Chicagoans to a lot of music as a record turner at WLS 890, and often could be found playing drums when he wasn't at the radio station, died of complications from a stroke on Sunday, October 29th, in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. He was 87. Mr. Muzard, a 58-year member of the Chicago Federation of Musicians, spent almost 40 years at WLS Chicago. He worked on the legendary National Barn Dance Show and operated turntables for such on-air personalities as Larry Lujack and Dick Biondi. Mr. Muzard was born in Chicago and graduated from Farragut High School, where he played football and developed his skills as a drummer, though his son Gordon said he never had a lesson. Mr. Muzard spent 4 years in the Army during World War II, stationed at New Guinea and the Admiralty Islands with an artillery unit. After his discharge, he joined WLS full-time in 1946 as a driver and worked his way up, said son Gordon, adding that his dad also played drums then with big bands at such places as the Congress and Drake Hotels in Chicago. Mr. Muzard eventually became a helper on WLS's National Barn Dance live weekly show and sometimes played drums on the broadcast. The show moved to another station in 1959, I believe it was WJJD, and WLS changed to a top 40 format in 1960, which we're all well aware of. But several union musicians, including Moose Muzard, remained at the station to operate the turntables for the disc jockeys. "Mr. Muzard was understanding about the rock and roll boom," said Dick Biondi. "He was a musician, so he knew there had to be some reason it was so popular." Edgar often accompanied Biondi to hops to play records. "He enjoyed it. He was good," said Dick. Lujack recalled Mr. Muzard's great sense of humor. "Everybody loved working with him. If I were to rate the all-time nice guys, he's way up there." When the station stopped playing vinyl records and went to a tape cartridge format in the mid-1970s, Moose played the last record, according to Ed Glab, now the station's engineering supervisor. "I think the last record played was a Vogue's recording." Moose retired in 1984, and his retirement plaque was a gold record with a moose head for his nickname. "He had a million friends," his son said. In retirement, he continued to play at dances, weddings, and other occasions with several musical groups. He married Mildred Kessler in 46. They divorced in 58. In 1960, he married Mary Albert, who now survives him.
Thanks, Ken. And Ken will be back with us on our next edition of the DX Audio Service with another column or two, and we'll be looking forward to it. Speaking of our next edition, we had a nice three-page article, and I'm sure our friend Tim Hendel would have liked it, but we just flat ran out of time on this edition of the DX Audio Service, so we'll have to put it on the next edition, hopefully, if we don't run out of time with all the stuff that we got to cover. This was kind of an unusual issue. issue because we were playing catch-up from the holidays. So, again, we'll look forward to that on our next edition. And, again, I'd like to mention that a big thank you to all of you who did respond to our surveys. As I mentioned, there's only five of them we didn't receive, and when you consider the number we mailed out and the number we got back, I'm very pleased. It's more than I expected. And the comments, absolutely superb, both positive and negative. It goes without saying that this is a member-supported magazine, and without input from the members, we don't know which way to take this magazine. If it was just me, God knows what you'd be getting. But seeing that we have some direction from the membership and very positive comments, I might add, for all the editors of the DX Audio Service. Again, thank you very, very much. Finally, one last article. Legendary talk radio host and founder of Premier Radio Network's Coast to Coast AM show, Art Bell, has been named recipient of the 2007 Radio and Records News Talk Radio Lifetime Achievement Award. Bell will accept the award at a luncheon to be held in his honor during the upcoming Radio and Records Talk Radio Seminar in Los Angeles. And just a personal note, I can't think of anyone more deserving than Art to get this award. That's it. That's all. There is no more. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as getting love treatment. I'm walking on a cloud. I can't understand love. I missed it holding your hand. I walk my way. And a thousand violins began to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello. That music I hear, though, I missed it the moment you need. You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Don't you notice how hopelessly I'm lost? Too much in love. You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want. Too much in love.